Hi, my name is Bart, and it's only been one day since... No, it's been 2 days. No, it's been one day. No, it's been 2 days. No, it's been one day since my last radio show, so I thought I'd throw together something to see what a throw-together would sound like. And if there aren't too many complaints, I could do these throw-togethers a little more often than I could do the longer, bigger throw-togethers, but what the hell, let's see what happens.
Do you think it's a legitimate criticism of this president that America has never been more reviled or disliked around the world than any other president under him? And do you think it's a legitimate criticism that he has gotten us into a war that he lied to get us into that he has no idea how to get us out of,
which is just a simple fact.
I know, how about some stupidity from our boneheaded monkey?
In the aftermath of successful welfare reform, we must turn to the problems of the working poor. These problems seem immune to our affluence.
Okay, let's talk about labor. Headline, more companies downsize family-friendly programs. No longer needed to keep workers, it says. For the first time in years, companies are taking the axe to programs considered family-friendly. Telecommuting, flexible schedules, job sharing, and other programs long championed as critical for making companies responsible to families' needs are being scaled back after years of steady gains. Boy, if there's one sentence that sums up Bush, think of all the progress that's being scaled back after years of steady gains under that son of a bitch. Their first big example says the labor market. With 9 million people out of work, companies no longer need to offer varied benefits to attract and retain workers. Benefits went past what the market would bear, and now they're coming back in line, says Jim Bird, president of WorkLifeBalance.com, an Atlanta-based provider of work balance something, But I remember, and I'll bet you do too, when Clinton was president, they had signs at every Arby's saying, please, please come in and apply. We'll give you $8 an hour, we'll give you $10 an hour, please, if you don't speak English, that's okay. You can run the damn slicer or something, but please, we need workers. And the big companies, they were offering, tell you what, we'll give you medical, we'll buy you a car, we'll give you a raise, we'll give you a 4 weeks vacation year, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. Please come work for us, please. But that's when we had our elected president. Under the unelected appointee, it's, we're canceling your benefits, and if you don't like it, leave, because we need to lay people off anyway, because this is the new America with three Ks in it, and we just don't care. Thanks, Mr. Bush. Thanks, Governor. You just turned the whole nation. We had the most peace and prosperity ever, and you promised to turn it around, and it was the only promise you kept, you bastard.
Interrupting all programs. Radio cast on pirate satellites. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light.
Another headline, $85 million settlement with Archdiocese approved. $85 million. Let me see what some of the gory facts are here. Roman Catholic record-breaking $85 million settlement with hundreds of alleged victims of child molestation. Priest won, 80% approval need to take effect, etc. Okay. More than 442 of the 552 plaintiffs accepted the deal. 552 rapes. And those aren't even rapes. Those are people. You know, they tell a story. One girl was abused again and again, like for 6 years, starting when she was 6 years old, when she was six to when she was 12. I mean, no need to get it. You know how bad it is. But $85 million, and that's just for Boston. Now think, $85 million. I'll bet some of you know where I'm going. Got $85 million. How many times can you go to Vegas with $85 million? Seems to me, can't speak for the priest, but if I was a priest and I had my choice between molesting a five-year-old boy or flying to Vegas, staying at the fabulous penthouse suite at the Bellagio and screwing just the best damn good-looking hooker you ever saw. I think I'd go with the Vegas hooker myself. Now, why don't they do that? This vow of celibacy is stupid. I know I need a new adjective besides stupid, but it's just stupid. God gives you the sex urge, and when you fight it, it comes out in funny ways. I used to say it generally would build up and then come exploding out, hopefully not inside the rectum of a 9-year-old. But between, if they're going to have sex anyway, why not send them to Vegas and let them have a really nice hooker? It's got to be cheaper. The girl makes the money. No little kids are involved. The priest gets off without hurting anybody. There's no settlement. There's no headlines. Oh, it is such a smarter deal to take your sex urge to Vegas instead of grabbing some little kid off the street or whatever they did, grab the altar boy and say, God wants you to do this for me, and open your mouth. I mean, this is just really, really sick. And as far as we know, they're taking zero steps to stop it. Imagine you Catholics are a little tired of me talking about it, but hey, think of how many families, since I first mentioned it, maybe 3-4 years ago, I forget, but I wonder how many hundreds or thousands of families have been attacked since I first brought it up. That kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? And I always get a kick out of the people write to me telling me to knock it off, and I generally ask them, have you mailed any letters to your local priest, your local archdiocese, asking them to knock it off? No, you're wasting your time coming after old Bart for pointing out that it would be better to go to Vegas and grab a hooker than grab some 6-year-old altar boy. That's just wrong. It's wrong every way. And if nothing else, like I've said repeatedly, they could keep the 85, send these priests to Vegas, give them $3 million, tell them, hey, this is your Vegas, this is your sex money, and then put the other $82 million in their pocket. This seems like it'd make a whole lot. You could buy a whole lot of Da Vinci's to hang over at the Vatican with that $82 million. As always, Bart Cop makes sense, but I can't get anybody to agree with me.
Bart will be right back after he fishes his boot out of a right-winger's butt. I'd
like to remind everybody that for the best in internet silversmithing, go to Mick Raceley. -silver.com. That's MickRaceley-silver.com. If Mick can't do it, it can't be done. You saw what he did with that Chinoco belt buckle, and you've seen a couple more examples on the page. Give old Mick a call, or give him a click, and see if he can't fix you right up. Thank you, Mick, our only advertiser.
Clark only publicly stated his party affiliation in recent weeks, and he's praised both Republican Presidents Nixon and Reagan, avowed racists both, by the way, and yet Wesley Clark never gets called on it. I don't know that the media has yet asked Wesley Clark.
Big boy, did you really say Wesley Clark?
Wesley Clark, Wesley Clark. Why he is deigned to support racists like Nixon and Reagan. It's amazing, isn't it? The question just hasn't been asked of General Clark. What do you mean, Rush? What do you mean? Don't you say that? Nixon and Reagan were racist?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. They were conservatives. Particularly Reagan. Reagan only was a racist. He hated homeless people. I mean, Reagan snuck out of the White House at night. Did you know this? He snuck out of the White House at night. He went over to Lafayette Park and he actually stole cans of pork and beans from the homeless. And he went right back to the White House, went to the kitchen, opened those cans and ate them and rubbed his tummy and said, I love other people's food.
Well, this one will really make you sick. USA Today has gone totally pro-Bush. Their cartoon every day. They had two in a row. Maybe I'll run into the second one here. But first cartoon is a fella, looks like he's a Karl Rove type. Says, Mr. President, your popularity has really slipped. Casualties continue to mount in an increasingly unpopular war. Now there's this general who's decided he's a Democrat running for president. Your chances at re-election look pretty bleak. And Lincoln says, anything else? Yeah, knock off that 4-score-and-7-year stuff. You know, people don't like math. So, the unelected pinhead is Lincoln. And we don't have the brains to appreciate the greatest president of the 21st century. Jesus Christ. I see where NBC is pulling the show Coupling off the air for the November sweeps. Have you seen the show Coupling? I admit I was prejudiced against it before it debuted because I saw the clips, and they're trying so hard to be friends, but with an extra measure of sex. But the girls aren't very cute, and who knows what the guys look like. But the biggest problem, the writing is so horrible. You know, the writing on this show is almost as bad as Good Morning Miami. Have you ever seen that show? I swear to Koresh, they could fire every writer they got and just say, Bart, can you write us a show, please? And I promise there'd be at least two or three jokes in a half hour. I watched a couple of the Good Morning Miamis because the girl's kind of cute, and I watched the ones that had the Queer Eye guys and Jillian Barbary. I saw that show, and it was just so incredible. At least the Jillian, all she did was make the show worse, which is kind of hard to believe because she's, kind of bubbly and explosive and unpredictable. And if she's cute, that kind of makes a little package there. But the show made her look worse. But the Queer Eye guys, they helped a little bit. At least when they were on the screen, they had jokes. I remember whoever the star was, he asked Carson, the main gay guy, who he was. And he said, I'm your shoe fairy. But really, they should make Coupling and Good Morning Miami a block so we can all avoid it at the same time. It would really help. But again, I've bitched about this before. It's unfair for them to charge. They set their rates by their November ratings. So they take off all the shows that suck extra bad, and they, like they're going to do a 90-minute Fear Factor. They're going to have girls eating bugs for 90 minutes instead of 30 or 60. I don't know how long the show is normally. And then they're going to charge, at the end of November then, they're going to put the sucky Coupling and Good Morning Miami shows back on and charge the rates for Fear Factor. Now that's a crime. That fucking Ann Coulter calling me again. I hate that. One day, BarCop.com got 49,998 hits. We were too short of 50,000. Now, if I told my advertisers to expect 50,000 hits a day, which is what NBC and all the networks are doing with these advertising rates, that would be a crime. Well, in my case, it wouldn't be a crime. It would be immoral. It would be unethical. But I don't know how the networks get away with doing it. They put on all the suck shows and charge you rates for the good shows. That's crime. But anyway, if you get a chance to avoid Coupling, take it. And if you get a chance to avoid Good Morning Miami, take that too.
Like the salmon on the mountain, says the Dharma got dumb. Hellfire and brimstone, swap for oil and guns. When we're pushing up daisies, we all look the same. In the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way.
Headline in the USA Today, calendar a factor in Dems' Iowa bailout. Clark Lieberman focus on New Hampshire and February 3rd primaries. So what they did, they skipped Iowa. And I don't know if that's a good move or not. Who the hell am I? What do I know about Iowa? I think it's extra stupid and unfair for Iowa and New Hampshire to set the tone every election. Every election, the Democrats and the Republicans, they go into Iowa and they start kissing ass. Oh, we love that ethanol. And I don't mind ethanol. It's just that if you don't like ethanol, you're going to lose Iowa, and then your chances are real bad there. Like on poker, it's like getting a bad flop. That's possible to still win, but it sure would be nice to come out of there with a victory. And the same thing for New Hampshire. Why the hell should Iowa and New Hampshire set the tone for everybody? Years ago, I got a letter from somebody in New Hampshire, and this is not an attack, it's an observation. They said, I think the guy ran a donut shop, and he said he has met every presidential candidate going back to like 1968 or something. Now, why should the people of New Hampshire and Iowa get to meet all these people specifically, intimately? People talk about they sat down and had breakfast with Bill Clinton back in 92 or 96. Well, I never had a chance to do that because I live in Oklahoma. I think, to be fair, they need to rotate those two states every year. If they want to do some Super Tuesday where 8 or 10 states or something are going all together at the same time, fine. But why don't we do Arkansas and Indiana for 2008? And then for 2012, why don't we do New Mexico and Oregon? I mean, Christ, at least we'd get a little bit of variety. It wouldn't be the same old, these guys, every year, every 4 years, they go to Iowa, and they start crying about how bad the farmers got it, and I'm with you on that. But the farmers aren't the only people in this country that need help. So it just seems like a little common sense would be to rotate those two early states. And I understand that you, it's better to have them in small states. You don't want to start out with California because you'd need $30 million to go up and down the state of California and hit every big town. That would just break you. But Iowa and New Hampshire have no business setting the tone for the entire country. It makes no sense other than tradition. Hey, screw tradition. Let's just do it the right way. We need to rotate that. What do you think?
Time to turn Tom DeLay on the grill. Another fine recipe from Bart Kopp.
Another article I'm looking at here, John Edwards. Talk about his health plan would help all kids. Well, John, I like you, but guess what, buddy? I got a thunderbolt for you. You're not going to win. Last poll I saw, you had about 2%, and the margin of error was 3%. So you might owe us some votes. Like I say, I like John Edwards, no problem there, but dude, you're not going to win. All you're doing is spending money, siphoning time and attention away from the people who might win. This is a little like, I've used this analogy a lot, but I do that because it's so valid. John, you're in a boxing match. It's a 12-round boxing match, and you've gone 10 rounds so far, and the other guy's beating your brains in. You're not going to win this on points. What you need is a knockout. You need to come out with something huge. And in boxing, what you would do is screw defense and go entirely for the knockout. And when you screw defense and go put all your guns into offense, you're probably going to get knocked out. But it's your only shot. What John Edwards needs to do today is the 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in there. He needs to come out with something big and flashy. He needs to accuse Bush of something huge, something that he can back up, get his name in the headlines, or he might as well retire. I mean, there's no reason to just hang around and talk about, oh, I got a health care plan too, but only 2% of the world is looking at me. It doesn't make any sense, John. Either go on the attack big time or get out and let Dean and Clark battle it out. Headline, poll, more people want troops home. A poll out Tuesday suggested that Americans concerned about Iraq is growing and that many Americans agree with President Bush, check this, that the news reports are making the situation seem worse than it is. Can someone explain that to me? If the news report says another four died yesterday, how is that making it appear worse than it is? Public support for keeping troops in Iraq until it has stabilized slipped from 64% last month to 58%, according to the Pew Research Center, which I believe is a right-wing hack place. The percentage of participants who wanted to bring troops home as soon as possible grew from 32% to 39%. So, in 1 month, Bush lost 6 on the pro and 7 on the con. According to the poll, nearly 4 in 10 said the news media are painting too bleak a picture of Iraq. Well, give us some good news, and it won't be so damn bleak. Bush has complained that the news media filter is distorting the picture Americans are getting of Iraq. Well, here we go again. Fox News is the number one cable news channel. Fox News is distorting Bush's message. If anything, they're amplifying it. They're rosying it up, not telling you the truth, not giving you the facts to make Bush look better. That he wants to go around the biggest cable outlet? I don't believe it. I don't buy it. Just another hand job from the BFEE, and all we can do is take it. On a related story, Bush threatens to veto his own Iraqi money bill. Bush threatened to veto a bill providing $87 million he has requested for troops and reconstruction in Iraq and Afghanistan if Congress insists on making it a loan instead of a giveaway. Can you believe that? The monkey is stealing all this money. What good is a loan going to do the BFEE? They want to steal the money and put it in their pocket and drive away. A loan means nothing to them. It just means you're going to have to give it back. Why doesn't Iraq have enough money to pay the loan back on their own? That oil's been pumping for, what, 90 days? Maybe longer, maybe 4 months that oil's been pumping? And where is all that oil going? I guess we're not supposed to ask. I'll tell you where it's going. I think they're pipelining it to Kuwait, and they're putting it on the giant tankers, and they're pretending it's Kuwaiti oil, but it's not. And since Kuwaiti oil isn't being pumped out, say you got $1 billion worth of oil. They give Kuwait $100 million as a handling fee, and they sell that $1 billion for $900 million and put the $900 million in their damn pocket. This is how the BFEE is making money. They got all that oil over there, all that money being made, but Bush says, no, we can't expect to be paid back by this rich country. We have to give the rich country more. It's just like his tax deal. We have to give money to the super rich. He wants to give the money to the super rich country instead of loaning it to them. Typical BFEE dodge. This is the Enronization of America. It's been coming for years. Everyone said, look, here it comes. We're all going to get Enron, just like California got Enron, and here we are now. We're getting it. And the Democrats are standing there saying, gee, how'd that happen? Doesn't it make you sick? It's hard for me to register my disgust with the Democrats without using a whole lot of words with lots of consonants in them. But can you believe those sons of bitches sold out women on this so-called partial birth abortion bullshit? Newt Gingrich, back in 94-95, him and Clinton could have got together real easy and solved this way. That's almost a decade ago. Think how many hundreds of thousands of lives might have been saved or changed or affected if the Republicans weren't such bastards. Clinton told him up front, I'll sign anything. Yeah, he said, I don't like it either. Make a provision for the mother's life and we got a deal. And the Republicans said, no, we want it all or we're going to beat you over the head with this fake issue for the next dozen years. They could have had it back then. They say they wanted to save the little babies. Well, they could have had that. But no, they didn't want that. They wanted a political issue to beat up Clinton with. Now here we are, 8-10 years later. These wimpy, spineless, crappy Democrats decided that instead of sticking by their guns, instead of sticking with those women, instead of looking out for the people who need someone to look out for them, they're going to vote with Bush. And what they did, and you know me, I'm bad with details, but they've said, okay, we'll give you the life of the mother, but we won't give you the health of the mother. So, at my first glance, it looks like in order to do one of these procedures, which is actually called an intact D&E, I believe, to do one of these procedures, the doctors have to have a airtight case that the woman is for sure going to die. Now, if it's dangerous to the woman, oh, well, screw that. It's just a woman. It's okay to put her life in danger. It's just a woman. They are so eager to help this little fetus until it's born, then they kick it in the teeth and say, shut up. We're not giving you any money. We're not giving you any health care. We're not going to give you any welfare. We're not going to give you any women and infant children, whatever those programs are. I don't know about those programs. They're going to cut off welfare as we know it. They're going to cut off job training for unwed mothers. They're going to do everything they can to make that little baby's life a total ruin. But I guess this is to suck up to the churches. They act like, oh, it's so important to get that baby born. Once it's born, fuck him. That's all they want to do. They got this phony issue, and they've been beating it on the head for so long. They got a moron president who's going to sign anything that the churches like. And the Democrats, they just all step aside and say, fine, go ahead and do to those women whatever you want to do, because they're just women. They're second class. They don't count. We don't care. We're Democrats. And I just hate that. I don't even like to pick on the Democrats, but the sons of bitches won't do their job. They refuse to show up for work, but they show up every other Friday to get their paycheck. I hate that. That's stealing money, obtaining money under false pretenses. Those bastards ought to go to jail. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to run down a list of these traitors who stuck a knife in the back of these poor women. First guy up is Bai from Indiana. He wanted to run for president this year, didn't think the timing was right. Well, guess what, Bai? It's bye-bye for you in 2008. We don't want you to run. If you run in 2008 and my peach truck hadn't hit me yet, I'm going to be screaming against you, you bastard, for stabbing these women in the back. Number two, Joe Biden, who loves to get on his knees and perform for W. I just can't believe this guy. What in the world is he doing in position of power? Him and Leahy both. These idiots, they want to lead the Democratic Party, but they want to vote with Bush. What's wrong with them? Tom Daschle is another one. He voted for this ban that's going to put the lives of women in danger. What is wrong with these people? How do you abandon women on abortion rights? As I said before, I'm 60-40 or maybe 55-45 for abortion, but I am strongly for it. I understand, in my opinion, you're snuffing out a life there, and I don't like that. But I think life of the mother has to take precedence over the life of the fetus. It's not a 50-50. It's not a one of them's going to die. We got to pick one. No, one is a viable, speaking woman with emotions and a future and, you know, kids who depend on her and a husband that loves her, et cetera, and the fetus is not. I don't see it as an equal deal, but the Democrats have chosen to stab them in the back. Another one is John Bro, Louisiana. He always votes with Bush. Why doesn't he become a Republican? Same for this Conrad. He's another one. Always votes with Bush. Here's Byrd, one of Bush's biggest attackers, one of the few people in the entire Senate that will stand up and say, Mr. President, you're lying to us. Knock it off. And now he's voting to screw these women. Some guy named Carper from Delaware. Don't know him, but screw him. Dorgan, Indiana. He's another guy. Always votes with Bush. What is wrong with these people? John Edwards decided not to vote. He had other things on his mind. He had other priorities. But then again, if they tell him, dude, we're going to lose this 70-30. I mean, there would have been symbolic reason for him to fly to Washington and cast his vote, but if his colleagues are determined to sell out the women, maybe he just saved the airfare, saved the ozone a little bit. Hollings from South Carolina, there's too much rights going on around there with them women's, is what Rush would say. Way to go, Hollings. Johnson from South Dakota, don't know him. Landrieu, a lady senator from Louisiana. Remember that big fight they had in Louisiana? I think Clinton went down there. I think they did the Democrats put a lot of effort into getting her in the Senate. Now she's in the Senate, and she's voting with Bush. Way to go, Landrieu. And there's that Leahy again. If I remember right, he's the highest-ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, and he's always willing to sell out for Bush. He will approve anybody that Bush wants him to approve. I don't know why. Why don't they get rid of this guy and put a fighter in there? Lincoln from Arkansas is another woman. I don't know her. I had to look her up. I didn't know her. But her first name is Blanche, so I'm assuming that means she's a woman. She voted to deny women rights. What's wrong with you women? Why would you deny other women their rights? That's real smart thinking. Zell Miller of Georgia always votes with Bush, never votes with the Democrats. Nelson of Nebraska, he's another one. I heard him say something bad about Bush the other day, but he always ends up voting with Bush. Pryor from Arkansas, I hate to see it. Both of the Arkansas senators sold out the women, and then Reed out there in Nevada. You'd think he'd want to pay back Bush a little bit for that Yucca Mountain radioactive bullshit, but no, he's ready to bend over. Whatever George Bush wants, George Bush is going to get. What is wrong with these bastards if they would sell out their constituents? I can't stand to be a Democrat sometimes.
When they kick at your front door, how you gonna come with your hand? Trigger of your gun.
On the TV front, the new Joe Millionaire is sucking big-time eggs. I thought it was going to be really cool. The first Joe Millionaire started out with 16 million people watching. But that Evan Marriott, oh, he was a lunkhead, wasn't he? I like to gamble with him. But anyway, the new Joe Millionaire got off to a really bad start. And that shocked everybody because they promoted it again and again and again all through the baseball. But women don't watch baseball. And women is who watches Joe Millionaire. That's kind of stupid, don't you think? What the hell's wrong with Fox? Another show that I really like is that new Skin. S-K-I-N. Yes, it's on Fox. I hate myself for watching it, but it's a really good show. It's produced by the same guy that does CSI, so immediately you've got some quality involved. It's not a Good Morning Miami kind of bullshit show. I probably read Romeo and Juliet when I was a kid, or at least I was in class when someone else read it, but it is your classic Romeo and Juliet story. The really hot-looking babe, her dad, is the biggest pornographer in California. And she was at a party one night, and her boyfriend was drunk, got all handsy on her, and she had a fight with him, and she wanted to get away. He was being very Republican, a boor, a rude person. So she tried to get away, and this other fella helped her. Now, it turns out the other fella, he's poor, and his dad is the DA for Los Angeles. So immediately, you've got the poor DA and his son falling in love with the super-rich pornographer and his really hot babe daughter. So that sets up the big, you know, the contrast is what makes a show move, and that's what makes this move. Then you add Link from Mod Squad. What is his name? Clarence Thomas Williams III, something like that. Anyway, he's the murderous drug dealer. So the murderous drug dealer wants the porno king, Ron Silver, our good friend from West Wing. Please don't hurt me. He wants him to launder some money for him, and he said no. So he blew up one of his bada bing clubs. Now, the DA got wind of that, and so he's wanting to trap both the pornographer and the drug king. The drug king wants to kill the pornographer and the DA, and the drug king wants to kill or get rid of the drug king and get the DA off his back. So you got a triangle here. You got the Romeo and Juliet 50-50 going on underneath with the sex, and then you've got the triangle, the three powerful men trying to kill each other. But it's a pretty good show. Like I say, it's got your dialogue, it's got your acting, got some people you might even recognize in there. I'd recommend you watching it. One thing, though, sounds kind of dumb. I could do with just a little less sex on this show. I mean, like I say, that gal's a really hot babe. Oh, and she's in her mid-20s. They keep saying she's 16, but please. The girl on Joan of Arcadia, she's probably, I'm sure she's older than 16. And this girl, like I say, the blonde on Skin is in her mid-20s. They're trying to make us think she's 16. Sure, uh-huh, yeah, that's right. I get tired of the gratuitous sex. And what I mean by that is, okay, the guy works at the porn guy frequents his strip club. And so we got to spend the first 10 seconds of the scene zeroed in on some girl's butt. I mean, I just don't see it. Why don't they show the girls dancing in the background? Why do we have to zoom in on her ass? I mean, I would rather see a dancing girl from 20 feet away than 2 inches away. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just weird that way, but I would like to see a little less sex in Skin. But, oh, and interesting, in the first show, the really hot babe, the 16-year-old, unquote, she and her new boyfriend are both virgins, and I'm pretty sure they did it in the first show. It was kind of hard to see. They got under the blankets, and they were kind of whirling around, and you one must assume, I guess. But, anyway, I'd recommend you watch Skin. It's a good show. Check it out. Moving on, got a little sports commentary for you. Here's a letter to my favorite newspaper, the greatest newspaper in the world, USA Today. Cough, cough. His headline says, New York Yankees win is all about the payroll. I'm fed up with Major League Baseball. The Yankees, with their high-end payroll, win a World Series berth again. New York Yankee players and fans celebrate as if they have done something unbelievably special. Big deal. It should be front-page news if the Yankees don't win the World Series, given that the team's payroll dwarfs those of other teams. Until baseball does something to change this farce, I am finished watching these games. out this year's World Series will be the lowest rated on television as baseball fans tire of the Yankees buying a trip to the championship every year. This is true. It is stupid. This is the eighth graders playing the third graders, and the eighth graders celebrate every year when they kick the third graders' ass. That is stupid. Here's another guy writes in, consider reality TV series. Some fast-thinking TV executive should cut a deal with the Cubs and Red Sox to stage a show called The World Series People Actually Want to See. In an age saturated with reality shows, what could be more natural? Now, yeah, I mean, it would be a World Series of losers, but that's why the ratings were so damn high when the Cubs and the Red Sox were still in the hunt. The last game of the championship series, where they both had a chance to win, were a lot higher rated than either of the first two World Series games. Because nobody except New York wants to see the Yankees win again and again and again, because Steinbrenner's got a bigger check, a bigger checkbook. That's crime. Oh, here we got one. It's TV related. Viewers tune in, what the hell does that say, for quality. Finally, someone of influence speaks the truth about fall programming. Nearly every promo seems to feature tasteless sexual jokes or references. I agree, and that is way out of control. I mean, I like sex more than most, but it is just stupid to have everything constantly. And the jokes are so poorly written. And Will and Grace is the worst. These ads certainly don't entice me to check out the shows. As much as I think the writing on CSI is high quality, I can't watch the senseless gore. It's not healthy and serves no purpose, as Robert Bianco rightly points out. Excuse me, but CSI is an autopsy show. Do you understand what that means? If you're going to be cutting up a body to find out what killed the man, you're going to have a little gore in there. It's called being real. It's an autopsy show. I mean, what are you going to have, third graders pulling daisies out of the ground? I mean, no, we're not doing that. This is an autopsy show. So naturally, there's going to be some blood. There's going to be some disfiguration. There's going to be burns. There's going to be gunshot wounds to the head. It's an autopsy show. What's wrong with people? Okay, you're going to close it with a song, a 35-year-old song by a band who sold out big time since then, but at the time they were on the front lines.
said shoot him down. Now you know.